Love this podcast? Support this show through the supporter feature from Acast. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hi, and welcome to another fantastic episode of the Snugcast. Thanks for tuning in. And I'm your host, DJ Walsh, as ever, joined on my left by my trusty companion, Owen fucking Tab. Owen, take a sip there, buddy, before you get going. How are you getting going on?
I am fucking very well now. We're inside here in Phil Grimes pub with two of our compatriots who just had to leave there recently. Big Dave Quinn, one of the stalwarts.
Snugcast celeb.
He is a Snugcast celeb at this stage. And Stewie Green.
Stewie Green.
No, you're fucking. But yeah. Two sound boys.
Two absolute gents that were on the stout tonight as well. Yeah.
Oh, actually,
they were on the White Gypsy Knocker.
Yeah. They said it was creamy anyway.
I've had a White Gypsy Knock in the past and it's lovely. Yeah, it's really nice. Creamy.
I think it's one of those ones that you have to kind of drink fresh and off, like.
I don't think you'd leave her sitting around for a while.
It doesn't settle well, like. Yeah.
No, settles fine, but doesn't stay settled as long as the traditional darker ales or stouts would.
Yeah, I'm pretty much talking about the long settle. You know.
Oh yeah.
You know what I mean, you know.
Yeah. She's moving around, get along, move along, shift,
go, shift.
Anyways, speaking of what the lads were drinking, Owen, we're actually here on a Tuesday night because of travel commitments. Usually we record on a Thursday night. And the last two episodes you'll have heard is from us in Grady's Yard. Absolutely loved our time with them lads. We're back here on Phil Grimes tonight. What I want to know, Owen, is trip to Phil Grimes is always an adventure. What are you drinking tonight?
So I'm on the Blacks of Kinsale Brute IPA, Mark II.
Tom gave a lovely description of this to you once, so would you like to repeat that for the listeners?
So yeah, they're second iteration of this IPA. As Tom said to me, like, it's quite dry on the tongue. After you take the initial sip, there's like not as if the flavor goes, but like that like initial tasting, as in like that like sensation of taste on your tongue, kind of goes. But yeah, fucking tasty beer. I actually really like this. I'd fucking highly recommend this bastard. Like it's a beauty. Like, there's a bit of like fruitiness behind it as well, but like that fruitiness stays, but like the initial taste kind of goes. Yeah. Like, yeah, so yeah,
I got you the taste of it off. Yeah. And my lingering thing was, it's when they say a dry IPA, it's literally the wetness goes from your taste buds, but the flavor lingers, and it's a lovely drink to drink. I've only had a taste of it. You're on your third pint of it now, and it's going down well for you.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, it's going very well.
we're happy out. I actually, look, we don't like dissing beers here on the Snugcast, but we have to be honest with the listeners as well. And I had the Bog Monster from, I think it was Lochcrilly.
Yeah, it was. Lochgill?
Lochgill, was it?
Yeah.
Them lads, anyway.
Yeah,
they're like, I've had a few of the beers before and they're lovely, but I had a Bog Monster 7.2%. Bit medicinal for me. Like, you've heard me on the Snowcast before describe 10.2% ales from Yellow Belly Beer, which I've loved. So it's not that the percentage is an issue for me. I did a beer tour of Belgium one summer, interrailing, and fucking loved it. And the Belgian bastards would go for stuff stronger than wine. They don't serve pints of it in Belgium. And similarly, in Yellow Belly, they'll give you a schooner of certain stuff that's too strong to be served in pints. But I had I bought a schooner of this stuff and had a couple of sips. It was a bit medicinal for me. So in fairness, like, I turned around to Tom and said, Tom, do you know when you know you're defeated? And, like, when you don't like something, like, we're men for trying out new beers. I held my hands up and said it wasn't for me. I can see, like, it's peat smoked and rested in barrels that have, I don't know, is it whiskey or rum that they've had in those barrels beforehand. So you can see how, like, it develops the character. It's very characteristic. Those characteristics don't play to my palate, but they might to yours. So I wouldn't say this is completely. Try it for sure, but for me, it wasn't for me anyway. You had a taste of it on.
Yeah, it was a bit like, I don't know, it was a bit aromatic for me. Like, it was too flavoured. I don't know if that's, like, it just pretty much tasted like alcohol. Mm. You know, there was that whole kind of nearly liqueur sense to
it.
Yeah,
that's exactly how I felt, yeah.
Whereby, like, you just, I don't know, you just really, really tasted, like, I don't know, like an alcohol, but, like, maybe even, like, no, not floral isn't the word, but like, you know, like definitely like a very pronounced flavour to it as well. Like, you know?
Do you know what it's like? I remember the first time I ever tasted an Irish coffee, and it was my grandmother in Cork, Kitty. She made an Irish coffee for my uncle. She burnt the coffee and threw a heap too much whiskey in it. And it was similar enough to that, where it was like smoky, but at the same time blew the head off. Yeah, it was that kind of liqueurish taste. Now, as I said,
I actually didn't mind the taste of it, like, and like I actually didn't think it was like a bad beer, but just like it, like, as you were saying earlier on, right, it's a fucking Bovril beer.
Yeah, Tom actually said that in fairness,
right? And it was
yeah,
it's one of those beers that I did like, and I said to you earlier on, I said, like, it's one of those beers that I wouldn't have a pint of, right? And it's a grower, right?
Yeah.
And would have a glass of, right? And I'd call it quits there and then. Like, I wouldn't even have a schooner. I'd have a fucking,
like, I said to you, like, if you had a bit of a sinusitis and it was cold, it was a shitty day, you came in, a glass of that stuff and a hot pour to fucking clear your sinuses right up. But, like I said, each their own. Your taste might be different than mine. I recommend you try it. So I came off it, and in fairness to Tom here, the absolute gent of a barman, so knowledgeable about his beers and ales and everything that's going.
It's actually ludicrous tonight.
It's an education having a conversation with him. I love just sitting and chatting to Tom, and I said to him, "What do you recommend?" So he actually gave me a couple of tasters. They were nice. I had a taste of the Wit Woo from the Rascal Brewing Company, who we had a bit of banter on Instagram with today, and them boys. The Wit Woo is very flavoursome, very crisp. Coriander and ginger sings through. It's like having a pint and a stir fry in one fucking mouthful. It's class, to be fair to them.
Beautiful.
But I actually taste the Gracienda. Gracienda or Graciendo, I'm not too sure.
Graciosa,
jeez, I made a right fuck of that. Yeah. From the Hopley company, and a brewing company in Offaly. And it's a tropical ale. Listen, like, we argued, actually, I gave a taste of Stew and a taste of Dave, you've tasted it, I reckon it's mango they've used in it, Stew thought it was pineapple, what did you say it was?
I said passion fruit, initially, but when Dave said it was pineapple, maybe it is pineapple-y, but
I'm getting a mango vibe from it, it's that kind of tropical fruit undertone to a lovely pale ale. It's really nice, and I've really enjoyed the couple of pints I've had so far. Well, I'm on my third pint of that as well, after having just two sips of the other stuff. I couldn't drink it personally, but that being said, I wouldn't put anyone off it. So that's where we're here in Philgoines, enjoying ourselves, having a nice few pints, and we've got a couple of couple of things lined up. Now, we didn't put out to the listeners for the topics this time, almost out of shame, because we made such fucking hymns the last episode. If you listen to that, you'll understand. We actually accidentally deleted the listeners' questions section after we recorded it. But we're going to blame Grady Zard for that, because he got us too drunk with the savage interview they did in episode 6. If you haven't listened to episode 6, get on it. We interviewed Kevin Kavanagh from the bar manager of Grady's Yard, and we interviewed Danny Trapp, the head salesman there in Yellow Belly Bear, and it was an absolute fucking treat. I have to say, Owen, possibly my favourite chat ever about beer, drinking, or just generally and ever. It was just a brilliant fucking conversation to be a part of.
Yeah, like, it probably comes second in a chat I had with my mum there about her giving out about my drinking habits, you know. Like, that was a pretty good conversation, like, you know.
Before I started recording, my dad rang me.
Go on, yeah.
And I answered the phone to him, and Stu and Dave and yourself were having a great conversation there. And I had to jump out of it to answer the phone to my father. And I answered the phone, and he just heard the background noise and said, "Ah, you're not in the pub again." But hey, pays the bills.
Hey.
well, it doesn't yet, but we hope it does.
If you could please contribute a couple of punts to our Patreon account.
To be fair, like, we're not poor, but like, we'd like to make this our full-time job. If you would like to hear a Snugcast every day, donate to thesnugcast@gmail.com.
Donate to the liver awareness campaign.
Yeah. Anyways, moving swiftly along from that point, fair play to your mother for looking out for your best interests. Geraldine Tabb, what a woman. I'm going to move on, Owen, and today was a very significant day in Irish society. Today was Budget Day. Budget Day is one of them funny fucking days where, like, you're sitting there and they're saying, we're giving this money to this and this money to that, but this is going up by that and this is going up by that. I always feel the budget's right. Like, my whole thing is, right, when I see my take-home pay pack and it says X amount, and if that goes up, ultimately I'm happy. But, and that's coming after the budget, but my feelings on Budget Day is, I always feel like they're giving you a fiver to put in your front pocket so they can take a tenner out of your arse pocket. And that's my residual feeling. Now, we literally graduated from college in the middle of austerity, so like, we're kind of half fucked anyway, and we're just going to be that lost generation. We just, like, we accept it, it's part of our fucking makeup, whatever. But whatever about the nation's finances, there's something I want to know about you, and that is, Owen Tabb as a 28-year-old versus Owen Tabb that I met as an 18-year-old in UCC all them years back as a student, what budgeting habits have you different now than you had then?
Right, so here it is. Budgeting at 24 is a different bastard altogether. 28.
You're being very kind to yourself.
I could be 24. You calm your mouth down.
How many pints have you had? I've only had 3.
I may have had a 4. But, yeah, look. Budgeting then, or budgeting now as opposed to then, is a different fish altogether. I budget now very statistically, like, as in, literally, like, just, like, mark down a lot of expenses. Like, you know, it is a very much so, you know, plus and minus thing of, I can afford this, I can't afford that. Like, you know, as in, say I had a subscription to, like this, like, box service that, it, like, gave me, like, it was fucking ludicrous. Gave me, like, ties and stuff. Like, every... Like, ties as in T-I-E, not T-O-Y-S, right?
You have a mad tartan one that you got out of that.
Yeah, exactly, right? Yeah. So, I used to have a thing. And in fairness, it was fucking quality. Like, I usually love that thing coming in every month, like.
I'm just going to jump in at this point because as can happen when you record in pubs, you record publicly. We were interrupted by a Scottish chap who we had been speaking to at the bar before we started recording, because we were having a conversation about Celtic languages with Tom the barman in Phil Grimes and this chap, and he remembered a Scots Gaelic word that he couldn't recall at the bar. So he came down to tell us, and with the little chap we had, he was an interesting character, his wife was with him, and we decided that we'd see if we get a bit of content out of him, and here's what we came up with. Enjoy. So how it started was, the last time we were here with Phil Grimes and Tom was working on the bar, Kevin usually just says us fuck off, get out. When last call is had and we've missed it, good luck. But Tom said, right lads, we've stopped serving. So I said to him, an Oíche Dár Gion, which basically is the Irish for the next night. And he asked me, you know, oh Jesus, that's beautiful. Tom has great interest in Irish language and we speak about it going frequently. So I was at the bar. Tom said to me, what was that phrase you said to me the last day? And I repeated it. So Rowan, you have a couple of phrases in Scots Gaelic for us that you just want to explain, and we're going to bat back and forth about the Irish equivalents and how they're quite similar.
Well, the one, so the one that came to mind after the one you mentioned there.
Beautiful accent. Oh, fucking dirty bastard.
People take the piss out of the Scottish accent, but it's sexy.
Fucking sexy.
No wonder you married him.
I'm 22 as well. I'm 22. But that's for the next podcast, yeah. Anyway. The one that, so following up on the Irish that you use, there's a gorgeous, gorgeous Scottish phrase called, it's a Jochen Doris, which if you speak Irish you'll understand is meaning a drink for the door, a drink before you leave the door.
One for the road, as the English road. People would
exactly.
say.
Yeah. One for the road.
So Jochen Doris.
Jochen Doris.
Which in Irish would be Joch
Dun Doris.
Yeah, Joch Dun Doris or Joch Oxen Doris. So it's just a little different, like you put different emphasis on the different syllables.
Spelled the same, I'm sure.
It's spelled the same, more than likely. And we got chatting then about a small drink, which you said was...
It would be a jock beg or a jockin beg.
So, which would be jock fig in Irish. Vig, because of grammar, it would be vig, but small in Irish would be biog, which is B-E-A-G. Yeah. And beg in Scots Gaelic is pronounced...
Beck.
Yeah,
Beck. But the G is almost like a K.
Yeah.
So, for example,
it's like the band Beck, like
yeah.
But so, like when you're spelling the word clock, it's spelled G L O C, clock.
Yeah.
But it's a K instead of a G.
That's gas. G L O C, because the Irish word is clog, which is C L O G.
It's still Gaelic.
Yeah, it's still Gaelic.
Same language.
Gaelic.
It's
fundamentally Celtic language. It's just been fucking tossed around a bit because there's a river between us, essentially.
It's a big river at that.
Yeah.
people have saw it though.
So speaking of the like, Marek, American over here in Ireland, married to a Scottish man at 22 years of age, bless you and save you.
Yeah, fucking twat.
What do you think? Oh, yeah. No holding back from Kevin there. What do you think about Ireland and Scotland having these languages that are in a minority, only a percentage of the population speak them, and you come from the States, which doesn't really have many indigenous languages, yet speaks English primarily like us?
Have you been to the South?
Oh. We actually have a couple of listeners in the South.
Yeah, good. Well, I mean, every area has its dialects, and I'm sure anybody can attest to the differences between regions, and you feel like you're the same people, and then you go in between different areas, and you're in a completely different area.
You've hit the nail on the head. Like, in Cork, there's probably 10 miles between two different towns or villages, yet they have a different word to describe a dog.
They can't fucking understand each other, anyway.
But they have a different word for a dog. So these are Gaeltacht, so to speak. Irish fluently in these towns.
I was born in Mallow.
Were you born in Mallow, yeah?
Yeah.
Fuck me. You don't come across like a Mallow head.
I'm a Waterford man.
He's a Waterford.
What's the difference?
Well, he's a Mallow kid, but a Waterford man.
Mallow is born like North Mallow. Cork, and Waterford is southeast. It's very distinct. It's got its own character. In the Gaeltacht in Cork, you could basically go from one side of a mountain to another, and a dog is called a Madra on one side of the dog. On one side of the mountain, sorry, Jesus, the dog. And on the other side of the mountain, a dog would be called a Gyre. which is a completely different fucking word altogether. It's a bit mad.
I've never heard that.
Have you never heard guy or no? No, like we are my English teacher in secondary
school. Mallowman.
You're a Mallowman. You should know this.
Madra.
You're only around the corner from him. We had an English teacher from Ballingeary, and he used to call a dog a gyre, but we learned it as Madra because that's just the generic term. That's what everyone else calls it, but this little fucking pocket in Cork call it a gyre. No, it was fucking fascinating there. We were at the bar.
One thing I struggled with was a dog in Scottish Gaelic could be a coo.
Yeah,
quite seriously, a coo.
See you fodder.
Yeah,
so like we have the fodders. I was explaining fodders to you, which is like a little inflection on a vowel which elongates it. So instead of k, which would be see you, you'd have a q, which is an elongation. Yeah.
Or like with the same in like the word for like a man or a person would be like, and instead of like dunya, it'd be dunya.
Yeah, so a dinna is a person in Irish.
Right.
So you just to put a fod on it.
Yeah, that's it, exactly the same. Yeah.
So it's basically, it's been the same thousands of years ago. It's evolved differently on each island.
What do you call it? You put a what on it?
A fodda.
So fodda is the Irish word for long, right? So you elongate the vowel.
You know why that's really interesting? In Arabic, they have different vowels in the Arabic language. Yeah. And the vowel for making something go upwards, like an or an ah, you would make it a longer upper vowel. That's called a fatha.
Ah, stop!
I'm not kidding you. It's the same thing.
But what I point out there is like that the Irish language is like pre-Latin, like as the Gaelic languages. Sorry,
they're the same family languages. They're all Celtic,
and
languages.
They completely predate the Latin languages, which we are dominate today: English, Italian, Spanish, and French. Arabic again is a very old language that like predates all those as well. Guys, I seriously want to ask, right? So, Marek, what part of the state are you from?
Ohio and Texas.
Yeah, so you were telling me you follow Ohio State in American football.
I went to Ohio State. I have to. I bleed scarlet and gray.
Oh, sorry, where were you born, though?
Texas. I was born in Victoria, Texas, which is very close to Mexico.
Yeah. Are you familiar with the Dillon Panthers?
With the what?
The Dillon Panthers.
No.
It was this TV series, Friday Night Lights, that came out over here. It was a big hit. I'm keen to know, we've literally bumped into you guys like half an hour ago. What part of Scotland are you from?
I was born in Fife. And then we lived most of the time up in... What's that?
No, not... with the bananas? No, not that Fife.
Born in Fife, we moved up there just outside Perthshire.
Interesting.
Like Australia.
So
where do you think they got the name from?
You come
original and best, as they say.
You come from a real cold place. You come from a real hot place. And then where did you meet?
We met. So when we were, I don't suppose any of you will remember when you were maybe 15 years old.
When we were 15 years old,
anyway, the thing to do when you had a sleepover with two or three of your pals is you'd go on a site called Chat Roulette, where you'd go and you'd flick through random people. You'd flick through 100 different folk with their dicks hanging out.
Yeah.
Tinder for 15-year-olds.
No. It wasn't.
Kevin's
Tinder.
Dick is all over the internet.
It was literally just an online chat room.
Yeah,
So you'd have folk over in...
So it wasn't a dating site?
No. It was just an online chat room.
Right. Rowan was the one guy who did not have his dick out. So I had to talk to him.
It's amazing!
It was romantic.
Isn't he only gorgeous?
Yeah.
So that's what a male's face looks like on the internet. It's not his dick.
You hadn't encountered it yet.
Yeah. No.
And that was part of my charm.
You're an amazing guy.
I didn't have my dick out on camera.
Didn't have your dick out in chat roulette when you were 15. And what age are you guys now, do you mind asking?
22.
Yeah, we're 22. We met in person when I was 18 and he was 19.
Right. And you're married now.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ, lads. It's like a documentary on Netflix. And
or Jeremy Kyle.
Right, you said that, not me. They can't sue us now. And No, it's a fascinating story. the most fascinating of it all is, how the fuck have you ended up in Philly Grimes on a Tuesday night in Watford, in Ireland?
No, because that's the only days I get off. I get off.
You're like Kevin.
Well,
other than that,
let's go back a few fucking stories.
Monday, Tuesday, that's the only nights I can get guaranteed off.
Well, we wanted to obviously be able to live together, where me in America and him in Scotland, we were not able to do, and we were spending way too much fucking money on plane tickets. Like, I don't even want to count how much money we spent.
Can I just point out that Ireland isn't halfway between Scotland and America?
It's just halfway as you get.
No, but I couldn't get into the UK, so where else do I end up going? I go to Ireland.
We let any fucker in, like, you know.
Oh, we will, yeah.
Yeah, Ireland.
Yeah, you'll take in anybody. Kevin's you'll take in me, yeah.
Like, Kevin's in here. Yeah.
I'm here.
We haven't even deported Kevin to Mallow. Yeah, we haven't even deported Kevin to Mallow yet.
I'm from Mallow. So,
oh, listen, it's a fairly cool story, and this is mad. Like, we've sat down here to record a podcast tonight, and our
what was your podcast on about?
So
before it was derailed by us.
Our agenda for tonight was the budget that came out today, which we have to finish actually when you fuck off.
What was that? We got a letter through the post. The dog's eating it. But we got a letter through the post, something about something about blasphemy laws.
Oh, don't mind that. That's a load of bollocks.
No, all right.
But vote yes, if you ask me.
So
basically what it is
well, because we never got to read it, because it's in bits.
Basically, the premise of the whole thing is that, like, back in yonder year, right?
Back when the Catholic Church had a stranglehold of our bollocks.
Right, and have a fucking stranglehold of our bollocks still, right? Because they just dictate a lot of our laws that blasphemy is still a punishable law in Ireland.
Can I just interject?
Yeah.
Jehovah.
Yeah, you're under arrest. You're under arrest. Yeah. Like,
I, as a hybrid agnostic / atheist.
These immigrants coming here. Yeah.
So who was it? It was fucking. What's your
the
man?
The whole
from,
point.
What's
was
your man from QI?
Blasphemy is taken out of the constitution.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. What's your man from QI?
Stephen Fry.
Exactly, right? So he came over to Ireland and he said, like, you know, fucking God is a bollocks or something like that, right? And then, like,
Stephen
like that
Fry spent time in prison.
But, like,
for nothing.
But, that is just a fucking bollocks law, right? And that.
A throwaway comment.
Throwaway comment, and, like, no one has paid any attention to it, but it's the fact that someone could pay attention to it and go,
and I think,
oh, like, you could be,
yeah. So part of it was, and, like, I don't know anybody's background here, and I've complete respect to all faiths and everything. I couldn't give a fuck. Like, my thing is, you go on as you go on. But I think the whole point was, if you have regressive, cruel dictatorships in any part of the world that quote blasphemy laws, if the United Nations go to them and say you can't have, like, you can't just kill someone because they said God or Allah or Jehovah or anyone is a bollocks, then they'll just point and say, well, there's a advanced Western society that has blasphemy laws. So the whole premise is, it's about the worldwide implications. And as far as Ireland's concerned, like, we're blasphemous all the time. Like, we couldn't give a fuck, to be honest. As
our
nation.
Hell is pure
blasphemy. Yeah, sure, like, we pure take the piss out of ourselves the whole time. So as far as I'm concerned, I don't see the need for blasphemy law. I think we need to respect each other, but be fucked.
So you're voting no, isn't it?
Possibly, yeah.
I don't even know if we can vote or what the story is there.
I know you're immigrants.
Yeah, because these fucking immigrants, they're coming here stealing our jobs and bringing their own.
I know, listen. Take whatever job you want, just vote whatever way you want.
Taking all the shite jobs and all that.
We're here for a good time.
Not a long time. Philly Grimes, 2K18.
In fact, we can write that on the wall up here. I'm sure Tom won't mind. Scribble it down.
It's been an impromptu fucking off the cuff recording with you all. We're delighted to have you on the Snowcast.
It's been something.
Like, follow, listen, subscribe on all the regular social media channels. And it's been a fucking delight to meet you all. And Kevin, I look forward to ordering a pint off you next week. We've been the Snowcast.
I've been sacked.
That's a fucking
fucking fantastic name. Snogcast.
Snogcast, yeah, because this is a snog and it's a podcast over.
Yeah, I love it.
Thank you. Listen, Berbu August Launcher.
So, we're back in my house now at the moment. The segment you just heard there, I've fucked it up altogether. We've all fucked it up altogether. We started talking to these people from Phil Grimes, and we had such a fucking good chat that we ended up cutting a fucking hefty amount out of it.
Cutting ourselves short
and cutting, pretty much just cutting the whole Snogcast out of it. DJ, what were we on about again? Sorry.
So you were just telling me about that box you used to order in for €10 a month. You had the tartan tie you used to wear to work. I used to come. We're on about budgeting actually, and you were just saying that it's probably an excessive spend. I'd say is where you're getting at.
Right. Okay. So
you said you used to love the fucking things coming in, but and I think that's
perfect. Perfect. Right. Okay. So I've had a few points after this. So budgeting now, right? Had a few of those ties coming in, right? But now, I am very conscious about what are my priorities in budgeting. Is it Sky Sports? Is it saving for the future? Is it for a house? Is it for whatever? Whereas, as you were saying, right, comparing that to 2008, right? 2008? I was having an absolute joke.
The only budget you have is for Wally's hut.
I used to go out on, I'd say £20 maximum. So Wally's hut, or Wally's butt, right, as I used to call it, used to be £6
for a bottle of wine.
Bottle of wine, £5.99, right? Or you could get I think back in our day, I'm not sure if it is now, but it was. Six Dutch gold for €6. It was that was your quintessential six for six,
that was what the six for six in Aldi was back then.
Yeah. So, no, actually, it wasn't even just an Aldi.
What I'm saying is the equivalent.
We
mentioned the six for six for Aldi last episode when we were talking about the passion fruit sour from Yellow Belly Beer. Fucking Castaway, get on it. And I'm saying, when we were 18, 6 for 6, the only thing that meant was 6 Dutch for €6.
I think now, maybe car park in Aldi, or car packy, as it's actually officially called. We used to call it car park in college. But I think car packy might be 6 for 6, maybe now. I don't know. But, that budget. So, 6 for 6. So that's €6. For, I don't know.
6 for 500, my fans.
Yeah, so, what's that? Two nights out?
One night?
Yeah. Right, so that. It was the aim when you were going out to not spend any money when you're out because you were so hammered. You rock into the classic. Yeah. Imagine rocking into the classic, any nightclub, pretty much your just regular nightclub, and not spending any more money. Also, I was class rep in college as well. I used to text a few of the boys that were running a club. And I'd have 6 to 10 to I don't know how many passes to get into the club, and all the boys, everyone used to just get in, the whole class used to just get in.
The passes, so you'd buy your Wally's hut or whatever you're getting, you'd buy your few cans, you'd have two or three cans, you'd have half a bottle of Wally's hut,
or you'd have half a fucking cheap Tesco vodka or something, head into town, Tab would be after giving you a pass, get into Classic for free. You might get one shot in there.
Like off the bar, yeah, free, yeah.
You might go in and get a shot, and then you'd be leery, but you'd be happy for the day. And where you probably spent the most money then was on grub on the way home, like.
Yeah, but like, it wasn't like that much either, like, you know.
No, like, you get breast and bum meal for €4 probably. Whereas now, we're fucking 28. Like, I think it's funny, you go probably through three phases once you hit college. College phase is you get by on fucking pennies. Then all of a sudden you qualify, you get your first job, you get your first paycheck. All of a sudden you think you're a fucking millionaire and you vastly overspend. You buy a car like we both did. You fucking rent a gaff on your own or rent a gaff with someone that you fucking overspend on because it's a good gaff. And then when you're going out, you're buying rounds for everyone. You think you're fucking the cock of the walk. That probably lasts you from about 22, 23 until about 25, 26. And then all of a sudden it fucking hits home. Like, you have zero money saved. Despite the fact you've been a working profession for 2 or 3 years. And then you start to settle down a bit. Now, we probably haven't settled down too much compared to others. But I think, like, I look at myself now budgeting, like, you know, when my paycheck goes in, I have me a couple of savings accounts that I put the few bob in each paycheck, and then I have me money left over to play around. Now we're at a luxury that we can do that. Like, we're not homeless, we're not fucking going from bill to bill, we don't have a lot of debt racked up. But fuck me, like, it's a lot better now that you have a few pound to play around with, and we specifically target our Thursday nights and our pints and doing our podcast with it, than fucking going back to the days where you'd have a scoop of chips, the cheese and onion pie out of Lennox's, and then you'd be into town for the night on €8.
I know, but like, it's a simpler life, like.
It's a much simpler fucking life. But I think as well, like, there was a lot less expenses outside of fucking eating and drinking and stuff back then. You didn't have a phone bill, you just topped up a fiver credit when you could. And if you couldn't text or ring someone, you couldn't text or ring someone, you got by. You didn't have this fucking data allowance and fucking your television, you know, you didn't have many bills really, like, so you just kind of got by. Like, if your television was gone, you didn't give a fuck. If you had no internet, you didn't really care. It was more about occupying yourself and entertaining yourself than fucking having means to entertain yourself, like television, internet and stuff like that. So it was way simpler then than it is now.
Yeah. Oh yeah, I don't know. It's still like, because I was up last week with my cousin, I stayed on our couch in Cork last month, because I started a master's in UCC, but I absolutely love that frame of mind. Like, I absolutely, like regardless of, like, your financial situation, right, like, those girls were so happy, like, absolutely ecstatic because they, like, bought a fish. Like,
just meant, like, just that kind of stuff. Like,
that shit, like, I absolutely love that shit. Like,
yeah,
that's so, like, that's so funny. Like, as in, like, these girls was like, bought a fish, like, sorry, they bought two fish, right, called Martin and Fiona, right? And like, these two fish were fucking, like, they were, like, worrying over, like, what, like, how long will they survive, and, like, you know, what kind of fish bowl should we get and shit, like. But, like, it's that kind of carefree mentality where, like me, I'm like, oh, like, I have to, like sort a tax issue or something like that, right? Where there's none of that. It's just, like, it's literally, like,
who, you know, a fault, like?
It's like, literally, like my cousin was just like. Is this weekend food for the fish, like, good enough, like, to give? And they're like, I don't give a fuck.
Yeah. Oh,
like, what are you talking about? Like, you know, just, like, settle down. Like, this is literally, like, a fish you're talking about. What are you on about?
Like, oh, like, you get by section, but it's funny, like, you know, the government's releases budget today, and it's just funny how they just do this big fuck-off document. Minister for Health shites it out, and they just fucking go with it as they do.
most people lose, the odd person wins, usually the fucking wrong people. You have a tenner in your arse pocket that they put in through reducing the USC or the wage, whatever, but they take fucking 15 quid out of your front pocket by increasing, I think they've increased the VAT on fucking pubs and stuff like that and that. So,
yeah, hospitality, yeah.
Hospitality, so, do you know what, like, they'll give you more money, but it'll cost you more to live and blah, blah, blah. But the nuts and the bolts of it is that's a chat about the fucking budget because it's been topical this week. And I hope you enjoyed it.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.